But we begin today with education. And the school is right down the street from us. Carpe Diem, Meridian, is what they call a blended school. That's fancy talk for one part online, one part in the classroom. A couple of years ago when they came in, we had the founder of Carpe Diem, who said he was going to build a school. He's going to get a school authorized and have it. This was June. And he's going to have the school open by July. And I said, no, you're not. And he did. And he talked about Carpe Diem, that each student would have an individualized instruction plan just for them. And I said, no, you're not. And he said, yes, we are. And he's actually, you know, done what he has promised. They now are getting ready to gear up for their third year in operation in the 2300 block of North Meridian Street. And they just named an interim principal. I think interim principal means you might get the gig, but you got to work harder than you worked before. And she is Lanier Eccles. And now this puts us in a little interesting position because she's her full-time job is that of interim principal at Carpe Diem. Charter school, but then she has this little sidelight part-time job that don't pay much. And that is as one of the new members of the IPS money. School board. So we're going to kind of divide that up and first talk about Carpe Diem. First of all, Lanier, welcome. Congratulations on both counts, both, as a commissioner on the IPS school board and interim principal of Carpe Diem. Let's talk Carpe Diem first.
Thank you.
What, for those that aren't familiar, what is Carpe Diem, Meridian?
Carpe Diem is a personalized learning school, located at 22nd and Meridian. Mm-hmm. We are operating in our third year, and it is a blended model, meaning the students spend half of their day getting their one-on-one education at the computer, mm-hmm. and then they spend the other part of their day working with their teachers. And so the thing that I appreciate about it and what many of our students do is the fact that for many times I sat in a classroom, you might have sat in a classroom, and you're like, teacher, I have heard this. I get it. It's time to move on. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of your really smart students. They're sitting in class bored, but they're not able to move on because the class isn't ready to move on.
Right.
But on the flip side, we have those students that are like, oh, the teacher just spoke for the last 20 minutes and I'm sitting here wondering what he just said, but I'm not going to be the person to ask that dumb question.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you put it individualized and that student is working one-on-one at their computer, they have a coach that'll come and support them, through what they're having difficulty with. So it's okay to ask that quote unquote dumb question. Without everyone knowing, getting the support that they need. And for my gifted and talented or my students that get it, they're able to move along. And so my discipline, for the most part, isn't as terrible as some schools because kids act up for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They act up either because they are smart and they get what's going on in the classroom. They get bored. And if
they get bored because they're smart and they want more to do.
Mm-hmm. And so sometimes they get into a little mischief. Let me see what I can do, this, that, and a third. Mm-hmm. And then we have students that act up in classrooms because they don't know what's going on. And the last thing this teacher is going to do is put me on Front Street.
Mm-hmm.
So before she puts me on Front Street or shows that I don't know what's going on, I'm going to try my best to get kicked out of the class.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. So with that blended learning, the kids will do what they need to do on their computer, and then they are able to meet with their classes.
Some people, when they hear about computers, they think, oh, this is like online education. So the student can be at home. That's not the case
not
at Carpe
the case.
Diem.
So the students come to Carpe Diem every day.
Carpe Diem.
They come every day and they have their work that they need to do. It's divided and they have percentages that they need to meet. We measure by quality, as in the amount of work that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is different from a traditional school, and then we measure quality. So at a traditional school, for a lot of parents, you have no idea what's going on with your student until that progress report comes. And it's like, oh, I didn't know this was going on.
Right.
And so with it being online, with it being personalized, parents can log in whenever they need to and see what their students have done. They can track their progress on a daily basis and say, you know, kids come home and parents ask the question, so how was your day? Oh, it was fine. Mm-hmm. What did you do? Oh, I did this, that, and the third sometimes, or I don't remember. But parents can literally log in and see what their kids did and complete it.
So. Is it something where at Carpe Diem, do parents get that? Do all parents get that at your school? And I think at an increasing number of traditional public schools, I know a lot of the townships have, a lot of the public has them, where you literally know can, first of all, the student knows where they are at any given moment, and the parents can know. Are parents and grandparents getting it?
So it's been a transition process with that. Some of our parents are very, very, very vigilant. I spoke to one parent today, and she's like, oh, yeah, she sends me a screenshot so I know where she started the day, and she sends me a screenshot at the end so I could see her percentages. And so we have some parents that are on it like that, and then we have some parents that I have to bring in and say, do you understand that you can do this? Do you understand that you can help? Do you understand that, granted, we, quote-unquote, don't have homework, however, if they ever say I'm bored, they can log in at home and get some work done. And so I think it's a process. A lot of times parents are used to the traditional model as in, oh, they'll let me know when something's going awry, or I'll get something later on. So
does this pattern also help the student that maybe is still trying to get it? Maybe they're doing so-so on the tests, but as they're monitoring their progress, they can see whether with their extra credit opportunities, if there are other opportunities to show the teacher, yeah, I'm getting the knowledge, I'm getting the information, I'm getting it.
So the teachers are able to see how the students are doing, and if there's an issue, the teacher can say, hey, I'm noticing that many of my students are not doing well in osmosis and diffusion.
Okay.
So because of that, I need all of my students that didn't pass that or are having difficulty to come at this time. That's something that the teacher can do and support them. And say they don't do well on the test, because there's a bank of questions, it's not like one just swoop of 10 questions. There's a bank of questions. The students can take the quiz more than once. Because in a traditional school, it's you pass the test, but we're moving on without you. And so being able to go over a quiz that they missed, make sure that they understand how to do it, and then get let them take the quiz again. Not necessarily the same quiz on the same on the same problems, but the same topic. And so, it allows them to master things before they move on rather than just fly through, sit quietly in the back of the classroom. Because that's something I get. They're like, I was good today. I was like, yes, you were, baby. You were good. You sat down and you weren't disruptive. However, you did no work. And I can see that. And so that's something, moving from that I did good today was just you behaving. That's great, but you also have to do work.
So it comes both. It gives teacher and administration a chance. Does it give you really a chance to see where your problems are and where you got to go to that student the way you did with that young lady?
It very much so. So every morning our teachers meet for about 30 minutes. And we disaggregate the data, percentage-wise data. Right. So we go and see, all right, this student did 15%, great. But then we have students that might do zero. We're sitting here like, okay, what was the problem? Everyone has their days. And so if I'm able to say, and again, I say PTSD is real in an urban district. I had a young lady whose cousin was killed. And so I understand we're not going to punish her for not doing anything, but we're going to have that conversation to support her through this rather than her just giving up. So we are able to identify and have those conversations with the students.
I'm looking at the profile of the school. It's a little different than some of the charters. Now, again, this is last school year that your free and reduced lunch was basically less than 60%, which is kind of unusual for a quote-unquote urban school. Is there a reason for that, or that's just the way it breaks down?
I thought it was very, very, very surprising.
Cause I'm trying to get you, because you see, on the current school funding formula, if you add more, you get some more money. I'm trying to get your money here.
Yeah, and I don't think we are not about the whole let's get your money. It is if we provide the opportunity that your child needs, bring them to us. And so it was funny. Our first year, we did a scatter plot of all of, or I think scatter plot's what I'm trying to say, of a map of all of the addresses.
And
they were coming from everywhere. I tell you, I had children coming from Brownsburg, Martinsville, Mooresville. I had a parent that was driving down from Muncie every day to bring her child here. But also, I have students that are coming from charter schools. We had 14 students. I know. I had 14 students start on Monday. Crazy. Literally. But anyways, I was looking at the demographics of where they were coming from, and I had, I think, three from Brownsburg. Most of them were from charter, but it's just a diverse population. Parents, I feel like we're the best kept secret in downtown Indianapolis.
Now, you all haven't been around long enough to generate a graduation rate yet, to be able to have, or if you do, what's the graduation rate?
So let's see, our first year, we graduated 3 young men. I was very proud of them, and all of them
Was that the whole cohort, 3 out of 3?
Yes, 3 out of 3.
That's three out of three,
and they were coming from tough situations where they were put out of their other school, but they knew that they could make up what they missed last year and do what they needed to do. And so they came in, and they were hard workers, and all of them ended up going on to a post-secondary. We went, had one go to Art Institute, one go to Southern Illinois, and one is here. So that was great. And last year, I had 6 students that graduated, and 4 of them received full scholarships. I say I toot my horn for that because that was my passion, working with the students and making sure that they receive the financial aid that they go after, not the here your parents are the ones that should be doing this with you. It's no, baby, come sit next to me. It's time to do these applications. So.
How many students can you handle at the Meridian Street location? I know the goal for Carpe Diem is to add other schools, but that's probably, what, another year or two down the road?
Maybe. In terms of adding students or my population?
Adding students at the current location and then adding another facility somewhere.
Okay, so.
I know you all are authorized to add another facility down the road.
Yes, we are authorized. But to answer the question about Carpe Diem Meridian, because that's my baby, we have and can hold 300 students. As of today, I think we have 253. So we're.
Is that up from the count in September?
Yes, it is. It is up from the count.
The reason I'm trying to stress money is that all the lobbyists are downtown trying to get all the charter schools an extra $1,500 a kid to make up for the fact that you don't have transportation.
And we don't have capital.
And we don't have capital, so if the air conditioner busts, it's coming out of the regular money. If you got that $1,500, what could you do with transportation, or is that just money to make sure the air conditioner doesn't bust?
I can't speak to that because, again, that's my management company. That's something that they're probably wanting because, of course, I would love to be able, personally, me, myself, personally, I would love to be able to provide transportation, but if that's not part of the model and that's how they operate, I'm not the one to make that decision.
You're just dealing with the academic part.
I'm dealing with the academics and the students in the building, and so I have my locus of control. When I was a teacher, I knew that I couldn't control the school. I had my little classroom, and now I have my little baby.
What's different moving from teacher and a sub-administrator to being the school leader?
So having the person that was there before being the principal, is that what you're asking?
No. What is the transition?
Okay.
Because there's so much focus today in education, and this deals with the part-time job. But there's so much focus on the principal. And finding great school leaders is the most difficult thing. Doesn't matter whether you're a private school, a charter school, traditional public school, Zionsville, IPS, Perry. It's almost easier to find a nuclear physicist than somebody that can handle a school. So how is it different from being the classroom teacher, being a manager in the building, to being the school leader?
I think both of them deal with managing. I say if you can run a 7th and 8th grade classroom at John Marshall with students that read anywhere between the 2nd grade level and the 4th grade level, I'm pretty sure you could do a lot. And so it's all about managing and supporting. Good managers demand a lot from their staff, but they also support them to get them there. And so I don't see much different. I actually felt like I wrote a lesson plan for my meeting this morning to guide my teachers through the idea of visioning. But it doesn't seem that much different other than we are down one person currently in the building, so I'm serving 2 jobs. But still, the idea of managing is what I'm doing, and managing our students to great success.
2 to 3 jobs out of one person. Welcome to America. Welcome to the real world. Somebody sent me something on Facebook that was saying that y'all were like giving away gift cards at Marsh, and they were raising the question, wait a minute, if when you apply to any charter school, there's not supposed to be any inducements, or you're not supposed to be able to pay an application fee or anything like that. And they thought, wait a minute, are you overstepping your bounds? How would you respond to that? First of all, is it correct?
Is it correct? Yes.
Unless you were doing, okay.
Oh,
Sometimes people just try to tell me stuff.
Look, making up stories. It is true. There is a $100 Marsh gift card for students that are enrolled or enroll at Carpe Diem. And it was more of an incentive, so to speak. People questioned the legality of it. And after hearing that, I actually had someone reach out to our legal counsel, and technically it's legal. And so, it's a part of marketing, and it's a way to let people know, I don't have all the bells and whistles and the bus and all that other good stuff to attract people to the school. So
you don't have the pacer or a Colt standing at the door.
I don't. And I guess it's a small token of appreciation. So I can see how some people might take it, but
what kinds of extracurricular activities for the students at Carpe Diem?
Oh goodness. Let's just say, my kids, I have created entrepreneurs. Okay. And so I said, if you have a group of 10 students that are interested in something, let me know and we can work with this. And so my little entrepreneurs have to do a proposal. They have to find a coach, and they have to say what days they meet, and they have to have a list of students. And so with that, we have several student-driven activities that have their sponsors. We have our hip-hop team. As of last week, several of my boys have created a rap team that will be I appreciate it. I was like, creativity, just as long as you're not in the streets, I am okay. Right. And so they have that. We have our Girls Inc. working with Adrian Slash and that team. We have our Student Government Association. We have our Students in Action Speak, which is a community service organization, because we are very community service driven. I'm trying to think. We have a lot.
It's just a lot of.
Yeah, a lot of little groups. Oh, the funniest one. A few weeks ago, I had a student approach me about the Rube Goldberg, because they want to do like contraptions and things like that.
So they're gonna be were they in the robotics thing?
No, they were not. We had that and started it last year.
You let all the other schools get. You gotta do
better. We'll do better.
If people want more information about Carpe Diem and they want to take a tour and they want to find out what the opportunities are, there is no application fee. It is a public charter school chartered by the Indiana State Charter School Board. You got the website. How to get a hold of y'all?
You can go to cdmeridian.com and get information there. Again, that's cdmeridian.com. Or you can call us on the phone, 317-921-7497.
Wait a minute, slow that down. That's 317 what?
921-7497.
7497-921-7497. That's Carpe Diem Charter School. Now that's Lanier Echols' main school that she's worried about. It's a long school day too. Is it longer than normal school day?
Yes.
When to when?
So we go depending on how successful the student is. Some days it's from 8 to 2:30. Some days it's 8 to 4. So
but basically from 7 to 4. Sister Lanier Echols is a Carpe Diem person. It's all Carpe Diem. Now, after 4 o'clock, she's got to worry about 65 other schools. They happen to be IPS. We'll take a break and we'll ask her about some issues and how those first board meetings, you know, including some folks that I understand last night had some concerns about Tech High School and some other stuff. We'll ask her about the 1-hour graduation. And how happy she was that she did that the board didn't have to deal with that, because that was getting ready to be a mess. Anyway, 239-1310, 239-1310, more after these.
Hello, I'm Ebony Chappelle, and I'm with the Indianapolis Recorder newspaper. You're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Life.
And at her part-time job, Lanier Echols is one of the new members of the IPS Board of School Commissioners, Commissioner Lanier Echols. First of all, welcome. You've had 3 meetings, 3 public meetings now, and then y'all was down in Bloomington having fun.
Oh, I wish. We were working.
was that part of the retreat or opportunity for the board to get together? There have been some quotes out that it was about not micromanaging the superintendent, but he's your employee. So how is that fine line between managing your employee, which is the superintendent, that's the only employee the school board has, and not getting in his business every hour on the hour?
Okay, so the one thing, and I'll go back to my school analogy, I have, and I would appreciate if you know that I do my job well, I don't need you to sit in my class, because as a principal, if I have to micromanage the teacher, maybe that person shouldn't be there. And so we hired him, and I say we, the school board hired him in good faith that he is able to work and do what he needs to do. And it's like, it's a really fine line between governing and managing. And when you sit here and you try to govern it, when you try to manage when you are a governor, it dilutes the purpose. It dilutes that line. And so I completely understand in asking questions and probing and saying, hey, what about this? But being able to say, you do this, you do that, you do this, that's not it.
Is it more in your mind, if there are concerns you have, raise them. But if it's not moving along, you save that for evaluation time.
It depends on how egregious it is, but yes, for the most part, it's, hey, Lewis, heard about this. What's going on? What are you doing about this? And he's like, oh, I'm handling it or I'm not. And so it's to be able to have that conversation, not what are your plans between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. So, it's about governance.
I don't know whether you saw Fox 59 News last night or in the morning, but they had some video allegedly of a fight, and they said it was Phoenix Academy, and I'm going, what school is Phoenix Academy? And found out it was school. No, found out it was school 30. It was at Garfield School 31. So I don't know whether they. And when I went to the school's website, it had James A. Garfield 31/ Phoenix Academy, and I'm going, okay, is the alternative school in the same building as the regular, which is kind of weird in itself. You have any concerns about that, or that? Then I know that's not one where you want to know what happened, but you don't want to tell the superintendent this is how you should have handled it.
No, I really don't have major opinions on it. I do know, to the best of my knowledge, that it was an alternative classroom that's sitting in, and I think I will take. First, let me say that I am not speaking for the entire board. Right. I'm speaking for Miracles.
Right.
So my whole thing about it was that discipline is a symptom of something else. And so if you have children fighting, what is really going on? Again, there's something that is causing that either frustration. Maybe the child doesn't know. Or they're not learning. Maybe they're having difficulties learning. Or maybe I say this so much, the whole idea of PTSD. Again, we had a young man who got killed 2 weeks ago. And then all of his friends are going back to school and they are told to shut up and be quiet and go to school. And so these kids are going through things. And so to punish the kids and just say, you know, you're kicked out.
Without knowing what set it off.
Exactly. And so not saying, this is just how I handle discipline. This is how I think about it. We need to figure out the root cause. Why is this going on?
Okay.
What is going on in this child's life that is causing them to behave this way? Definitely there should be some type of consequence. But if you don't teach, because if you go to the root word of discipline, which is disciple, which means to teach, the kids aren't going to learn anything. Kicking them out of school might serve the immediate punishment, but if you don't teach them how to interact with someone, that's not going to help in the long run.
Let me go to Mia at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you?
Fine.
I have a couple of questions. One question is, do you guys have a no bullying policy?
So, yes.
Let me clarify that. Are you talking about at Carpe Diem or are you talking about an IPS?
Carpe Diem.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure she was addressing the right issue.
Yes, okay. For the most part. The funny thing is, and I'll say this, kids will call something bullying just because, like, they'll say, he talked about me, he's bullying me. Okay, there's a difference between kids who will be kids and then kids that are egregiously bullying. And so the one thing that I do personally is, if there is a situation, I need write-ups, I need letters. Tell me what's going on so that we can address it.
From the parent or the student or all of the above?
All of the above. Let me know what's going on so that I can address it. And I'm like, look, this is what this child is taking it as. You might think it is you're just playing with him, but he's taking it as bullying. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Do you understand that if this continues, you will more than likely be put out? Like, you can't continue to bully someone because we, face it or not, we are living with some very crucial children that are cutting, that are willing, they'll say things like, I plan on killing myself. And so bullying is so serious.
Right.
And so I try my best. As well as my staff to let me know. We call CPS if anything.
Let me ask you, is it difficult for the, because a lot of times I get complaints from parents
that they talk to the principal and they bring up an incident that involved their child and another child, another student.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know what happened to the other student. And the principal basically says, all I can tell you is something happened to the other student. I really can't get into that. Is that one of the hardest things?
It is.
That parents don't understand you, even though the parent wants to know, what'd you do to that other kid? You know, but you can't say.
Yes. Yes, it is so difficult because I would like to say, yes, that child has been punished. They've been put out of school, but it is a literally, please have faith in me as the principal or the dean of students.
Because you're following the law.
I am following the law and doing what I can, but please know that I am trying to do my best to make sure that your child is protected because we are a safe school.
And now, one of the reasons I ask that is we rarely get to talk to a principal because usually they're in a school principal.
Look, you know you had to drag me down here. Look, no, I'm joking.
But I think in fairness to principals and teachers, those are the two voices in education the audience doesn't hear a lot from because of when we're on. And I think those are two crucial voices. Is that it, Mia?
I'm going to have one more question.
That's what I thought. Okay.
What is your academics according to special needs kids? Because my son, he's artistic, but he's high function. And the school that he's at now, Amos, you know my situation. My son in his school, I'm trying to put him in another school because they're not going by his IEP. And I had an incident where kids is doing all his things and the teachers all up in his face. And so I want to put him in another school that can handle, you know, his situation.
What grade is he in? Remind me.
He's in the fifth grade. He goes to Indiana Life Science Academy.
Fifth grade or sixth grade?
Fifth grade. He's fifth grade.
He's fifth now. He would be eligible for Carpe Diem in August. Because he would be going into sixth grade, so it wouldn't hurt to give them a call and set up a tour.
Yep. So what I'll say, Mia, is a few things. One, I want you to tour whatever school that you decide to go to or you're interested in. Tour, meet people, see how the teachers interact with the students. And two is have that sit down with the special ed coordinator beforehand and ask how they support his IEP, what's expected, and what they would like. And so, again, I encourage you, if you are not happy, if they're not supporting your child, you definitely need to.
But to be fair also to Carpe Diem, Mia, every student has an education plan like an IEP, whether they're special ed or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Thank you, Mia. Let me go to
Pam
at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, thank you for coming on the show. One of the reasons why I did not choose Carpe Diem for my son a couple of years ago was because there wasn't a sports program at that time. And I'm not sure if that's still the case. I did put him in, actually a private Catholic school, which served our needs, but I really, really wanted Carpe Diem to work. So I just kind of wanted to know a little bit of feedback about that. And also, what is your ratio for African-American students and African-American teachers?
Okay. First, in terms of sports, I played tennis. I ran track. I was a band geek. And so it's so frustrating sometimes being at a school where I'm used to all of those extracurriculars. But at Carpe Diem, we focus on academics and we do what we do well, and that is academics. So unfortunately, we still do not have a sports team. However, my students, my entrepreneurs are trying to create a basketball clinic. And so I'm excited. They said, we have a basketball team. Please sign up. We need 10. And so we're trying to support those needs and have those community partnerships because we do not have a true gym. We have a workout facility, but not a true gym. So we don't have that. And you asked another question, but I forgot.
The African-American ratio of African-American teachers.
Okay, so African-American teachers. So we have teachers and we have coaches. And so we have...
What's the difference?
So exactly. I know, right? So our teachers are the ones that are actually in the classroom, giving and supporting the students. And then we have the coaches who are in the learning center where all of their computers are and where the students get their one-on-one learning. And so in the actual classroom, we have, of the five, we have one that's African-American. And then of the coaches, we have one, two, three, four. Yeah, four. So we're pretty diverse group, to say the least.
What's your percentage of African American students ratio?
I think we're sitting at about
actually
60.
We had that number.
I think we're pretty diverse. Oh, we're pretty diverse.
It's African-American students.
It is now, the last school year was 61% African-American, 27% white, 2% Hispanic, 9% multiracial. That was last. That was last school year.
And I appreciate our diversity for the fact that we have.
Yeah, and I do too. That was something that was important to me. It's also important to me that you know, children are also learning by black folk and specifically black men. My son is actually African American. He's going into elementary education.
Uh-oh.
And so I am very excited for him because of the impact that he will be able to make, because it just seems to be such a shortage.
There is. There is.
And it's so important.
Tell him I said thank you. Tell him I said thank you. We have
you.
Two. Literally, you if you look, if, please.
All right. Appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is absolutely his name is. With Lanier Eccles working two hats, both the interim principal of Carpe Diem up on Meridian Street, just north of 22nd Street, and also on the IPS school board. Going back to discipline and going back to problems, I know there was a delegation last night from from Tech High School concerned about their principal. I'm hearing rumblings about concern about the Attucks principal. We've got Washington High School. If I hear another report about that school being off the hook, I'm going to write a screenplay for Oprah. On one level, the board is dealing with new initiatives, and we can agree or disagree on some of those initiatives. But trying something new, I think it was Sam Odell's quote from the board meeting last night. Should we be concerned that there's so much focus on new initiatives that administration may be taking their eyes off the basics of making sure that schools are safe, secure, and educating folk?
No, I don't think we have a priority issue. I think we are doing something or going through something we're calling growing pains. Not everyone's going to be happy. Someone's always going to be in an uproar if it doesn't go the way they like. I've realized if you please everyone, you're not doing what's right. You're not pushing the envelope. If you're pleasing everyone, you're not pushing the envelope, I'll say. So again, I think we're moving in the right direction. But I'm getting emails too.
The other thing is, and this is like, on the one level, I think IPS wants the community involved in helping to select school leaders, principals. But then if something goes south in that relationship, or that principal may not be doing the job downtown wants them to do, and they make a move, then you can't tell that community that invested in that decision to pick the principal. You can't tell them what happened, because now we're back up to, it's like the student, and you can't tell them what the reason is. Is that the other conundrum, that you get the community involved with the principal and they think that principal's doing a great job when maybe they really aren't? And then all of a sudden the decision is made, well, that principal has to go, and then everybody's all up in arms and they're sending the emails.
Those emails are coming rapidly. But I appreciate, because we can't say too many districts are actually getting the community's input. And so I think this is a process that's beginning, because we want the community in the schools, because I think that's one of the things we're missing, that whole idea of village, because it takes a village to raise a child. And so we just need to figure out how that village is going to operate. And again, we're going through growing pains.
Let me go to Marcella right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
I love that name.
Marcella?
I just turned the radio on. I want to ask the guest something. Do you deal with special needs children at this school you're talking about?
We do. We do. I think we're sitting at about 21%, I think, right about now, special needs.
Okay. Do you take children with autism?
I'm sorry. Oh, did you say do we have kids?
Do you take kids with autism?
Yes, we do. We have students that are all on the spectrum. We have high functioning, and we have some that are low functioning. So yes, we do.
And Marcella, they're a public school. They cannot deny a child enrollment if they have a special need.
Not at all.
What grade? I'm sorry.
I want your address. My child is in one of your IPS schools.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want him to be a little more challenged.
Okay.
What I'm listening to, it's like you guys might be what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. So, again, like I told the other caller, is whatever school you are looking for, whatever or where it wherever it may be, I want you to visit it. I want you to tour. I want you to speak to that special ed person with your list of concerns and grievances before you make the decision. And so wherever you decide to go.
Let me get you the address of that school because I want to stop by there.
All right, the address to Carpe Diem is
2240 North Meridian Street.
2240 North Meridian.
Yep, so again, before you make any decisions, I want you to visit. And you might need to call downtown. Please call downtown.
Whether it's Carpe Diem or an IPS.
Or IPS, literally. But if you are having difficulty with your child in IPS, I want you to call and at least talk to the principal. Because if your child isn't being served, you definitely need to address that.
Let me ask you real quickly, ma'am, is your child on an IEP?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Are they following the IEP?
Hmm.
Yes, the IEP, but it's like,
you might need to change
You might need to change the goals, and you can call a case conference at any time.
Anytime.
Not just at the beginning of the school year. If you need to have a case conference the first part of February, call it.
Okay.
And they cannot say no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what I'll do is call her because she's wonderful. I love her to death. I'll give her a call after I get off the phone and see if I can have a meeting with her first.
Yeah, you can tell her that she was on the air with the school board member, Lanier Eccles.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Marcella.
You're quite welcome. Let me go quickly to Dee Dee at 239-1310. Hi there.
Oh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I know that you are on the school board, IPS, the school board.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're doing the charter.
Uh-huh.
So is there a conflict of interest there from being on IPS's school board? And if there could be a conflict, I'm wondering if what you're doing for IPS being on the school board, are you implementing some of the things that you're doing in the charter and carrying it over to the IPS kids, or are they going to just fall by the wayside?
No, not at all. Very good question, but legally there is no conflict of interest. The conflict of interest would be if I were to have remained in Indianapolis Public Schools and then tried to run for school board. And so, if you know me, I'm education at heart, if I wanted to run for school board, I wouldn't have been able to remain in IPS.
I'm sorry. What are you doing for the children of IPS?
I'm calling for action, making sure that they receive the best education that they can, regardless. And if that is bringing new ideas and different thought processes, maybe that's what is brought in. But right now, it is making sure that every child has access to a quality education, and making sure the principals in IPS are held to a high standard, making sure that the teachers are supported. And so, yes, that's what we're doing. Again, I'm 3 weeks in, and so haven't done too much.
So are you going to propose those type of changes in the IPS system?
I don't propose. I haven't proposed anything at this point. Again, I'm getting my feet wet before we make any crazy proposals or anything like that. But if anything, I am all for making sure that our superintendent, who is ultimately the one that will be implementing changes, it's comfortable with him. But for me, no.
Let me ask you, Dee Dee, because I think implicit in your question are things you don't want her to do. What would you not, I think I may have lost her, what would you not want her to do?
Well, what I would not want her to do is to sit back and be completely for the charter school.
Oh, not at all.
But what I'm saying is that you said crazy ideas, but the thing is, if it's working in the charter school, why wouldn't you bring that in or propose something for IPS's children
Certainly.
To be implemented as what you're doing in that school have the kids
Certainly.
Excel just as well
Certainly.
Or even better than what they're doing in the charter school.
Certainly, and I think that was one of the things that I definitely said was an asset of mine, being able to work in a charter school and being able to see how some things are done differently, because I believe that in terms of education, it's not a one-size-fits-all at all. And so with that, trying something different to make sure that we reach our children. And, yeah, so that's how I feel about that.
All right, thank you, Dee Dee. Great questions. Lanier Eccles, she's a member of the IPS school board. If you go to myips.org,
mm-hmm.
all their contact information is there because it's public record.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't hide. They she likes to get the email. You haven't seen emails yet.
Look, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for something crazy to happen.
Oh, it might. Is that you know, they need to look at Washington High School. It's getting crazy over there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Lanier Eccles, always good to see you. Thanks very, very much.
Well,
when we
you.
Come back, we'll talk to folks from the Arts Council of Indianapolis because it's almost February. And even though if it's February, it's not only Black History Month, but it is art and soul at the Arts Garden that kicks off this Saturday.